Today is Mission Sunday, and this is something we actually do quite regularly, and the reason is that we as a church are absolutely bent on fulfilling the mission of heaven here on earth, and that's simply, but very profoundly, to go make disciples of every nation here on earth. Now, we at the Nations Church believe that every member is a minister. That the purpose, as Ephesians 4 reveals to us, of the pastors here is to do one thing, is to equip the saints, which is you and me, for the work of ministry, for the purpose of building up the body of Christ. Similarly, we believe that every member is a missionary, because a missionary is simply one who carries the singular heart mission of God. And that is, Jesus' desire is to have every person saved and come to the knowledge of truth, as we see in 1 Timothy 2:4. So take times like this, like on this Sunday, to rally around what God's doing, yeah? To just marvel at what he is accomplishing in and through the Nations Church, his cosmic purpose for his glory. And Mountain Child is one major and visible way that God is accomplishing his purpose in and through us as his body and as his church. So we'll go to the next slide. Now, as many of you guys know, the Nations Church is the home and the birthplace of Mountain Child. So when we get the opportunity to hear from those who are deeply involved in the work there in Nepal and get reports from them, it's hearing from family, right? And so I'm happy to say that we'll be able to get the chance to hear some of those reports today in a few moments. But let me just kind of review with for all of us what the purpose of Mountain Child is. And it is to empower a new generation of children from the mountains to be the long-term, sustainable solution back to their communities, back to their tribes, and people and family in the Himalayas. And it's for this generation to take back with them eternal solutions, that which is the message of the gospel of Christ Jesus. And Mountain Child is, as Pastor Jack so eloquently says, is to herald the name of Jesus Christ to unreached people groups who literally have never heard of the name of Jesus and don't know him at all. If you've heard anything about those who live in the remote areas of the Himalayas, if you ask them, have you ever heard of Jesus, they will say, which village is he in? They don't know his name. They don't know anything about him. So Mountain Child really focuses on five core issues. And really, these five core issues is how Mountain Child, I believe, organizes their efforts and charge in very tangible and practical ways. So let's go through just them really quickly, just to familiarize ourselves. I think it's really good for us to always get these into our hearts. The first is about health. And as you see on our slide here, that it's 24,000 children in 2012 died in Nepal before the age of 5. And this is because of very simple causes like diarrhea and contaminated drinking water. The second core issue that Mountain Child addresses in a very practical way is trafficking. You'll see here 16,000 children, the average age around 11 to 12, are trafficked each and every year. And this is sex trafficking. And this is a staggering number. And surprisingly, this number is only limited to the country of Nepal. When we look at countries that are neighboring it, we're talking tens and thousands of more children who are being trafficked. So this is something that Mountain Child is directly intervening in very real and practical ways. The third one is child labor starts at age 5, believe it or not. If you've ever been to Nepal, it's not uncommon for you to see I usually see boys around the age of 12, 11, 12, 13 carrying around these huge loads on their forehead strapped to the back. I'd say 70 kilograms, around 150 pounds. I've never done that before. I've carried 70 pounds up a mountain and about died. So this is double that. And they're doing this barefoot going up the mountains. And so, yeah, they're hosses. They're strong. But what this is also preventing them to get involved in is education and schooling, because this is what they do day in and day out. So this is another issue that Mountain Child is addressing. Environment is also one thing that is very close to the heart of Mountain Child. With a combination of erosion and out-of-date farming techniques, Nepal is facing some big crop losses, 40% if you see here on the screen, and that's pretty large. The last one is education. And just to give you an idea of how this is being addressed, how one of these core issues are being addressed, we have an informative video for you regarding the core issue of education that we'd like to just show you, just to give you an example of what this means, that we're addressing these core issues. So we'd like to play that for you right now.
So there are no teachers?
Do you think when the teachers come that they will, children will go there?
Yes, I think.
Yeah?
But they will not teach nicely.
Why?
I don't know.
I've heard sometimes that like teachers don't come to school.
Yeah.
In the country of Nepal, especially in the distant villages in the Himalayas, a lot of the teachers aren't properly trained. And so the government will hire these teachers to go up into the mountainous regions, and they'll pay them the full salary up front. And once they get to these areas and they realize that the job is really tough because the kids don't have any education background at all, they actually end up walking off the job. And so that brings the kids back into the village and back into the home to work in the crops. So it produces this cycle of, in the villages, they don't value education because no one's there to teach them the value of education and how that's going to help change their world for the better.
I'm happy to be in Kathmandu because in the village so many children are not getting a chance to study.
And I saw so many children, and in my mind I was thinking if they also would get education like me, like it would be so nice.
One of Mountain Child's goals and vision for education to help the people in the Himalayas is to help change how the village people see education. Parents can see that learning is taking place and it's benefiting their children.
Inspiring, isn't it? So that's just one example of how Mountain Child is just specifically addressing these core issues of the Himalayan children. I would really encourage you to check out the other videos. It's on the website, and they're all very informative and just gives you just real-life examples like this to see how this is taking, playing out and being addressed there in Nepal. What we'd like to do right now is just take a moment and look at some of the familiar faces from the Nations Church of those who are now in Nepal, and involved with the work of Mountain Child. Some of you guys might have recognized DJ on that video. He was a part of us for a few years, and now he's there for the purpose of volunteering and for education purposes. So what we'd like to do is just give you a little background so you can get an idea of who these people are when we get video reports from them, and you'll see different faces. And I know people have been here in different span of years, but this is our church family. and just geographically, they may be there, but we're all right here doing the same work. And so the first people I'll introduce are the Reeds. I hope some of these are familiar faces to some of you. And Pastor Jack and Jenny are the founding pastors of the Nations International Church. And they began about 8 years back, a little bit more, in a small noodle bar, I think near Pundang, the area of Pundang. Pastor Jack is also the founder of Mountain Child, and Pastor Jenny manages the finances of Mountain Child there in Nepal. The Reeds reside in Kathmandu, and with their three children, you see Laura, Hudson, and Kaya, of course, giving beautiful smiles there. And there they lead up the work of Mountain Child. They're right in the middle of everything, just so close in directly managing and leading those efforts. Of course, the Reeds drop by from time to time here, bless us with their presence, and we always enjoy that. In fact, I think we're anticipating another visit sometime here in the summer, so we're looking forward to that. Next, the Thompsons. The Thompsons are the first from our church family, besides the Reeds, to go to Nepal. John and Soyeon met here at the Nations Church, and they headed out to the very first mission trip from our church to Nepal back in 2007. And Kelly and I were on that mission trip, and we got to witness the love story unfolding as they got all googly-eyed for each other. But more importantly, as they started to know the partnership, the spiritual partnership that God was forming between them for his kingdom purposes. So they've been there since 2011 with their son Judah and daughter Garden, and they head up the outreach and anti-trafficking efforts through the Christ-Centered Art Therapy Program. In the past, we've had just wonderful updates of the women who've come out of the brothels and into this program and have been just changed from the inside out. They've had no place to communicate, no words, no voice to speak, but through art have been able to just find that voice and hear from the voice of their creator their worth, their value, and their purpose. And so the Thompsons are in charge of that. I believe they're in Canada right now, enjoying some time, making some preparations as well. Next, we have Scott and Sarah Smith. Now, Scott and Sarah were already married before they came and started attending the Nations Church regularly. What struck me about them during their season here really was their wide open hearts. I just remember them being just willing to do whatever and be wherever God wanted them to do and be. It was just pretty inspiring to interact with them. And you could tell early on that they were just captivated by God's work through Mountain Child. And they've been there since 2010. Excuse me, heading up the Explore campaign, which is the short-term missions trip. And they've been doing that for many, many teams that have been coming into Nepal until 2013. Now they are heading up the internship program, which is very exciting. And they are also quite responsible for many of the beautiful video footage that we see from time to time. I know they don't do all of it, but they have such great skill and talent in that area, and so enjoyable for us to be able to see by picture in motion what's happening there on the ground. I also heard Sarah has quite a unique karaoke talent, so the next time she's here, you might want to ask her about that. Next, we have some very familiar faces, the Thrall family, Mark, Sunno, and Jin, who are currently in the U.S., making some final preparations as they prepare to head to Nepal long-term, that they have made full commitments to be there for as long as God wants them to be there. It's amazing, isn't it, how God is mobilizing people amongst us, right around us. you know, for his cosmic purpose to reach the unreached, for his heart to go out and literally bring and reconcile people who've never heard of him before. And so it's so wonderful to have these wonderful faces before us, just to continue to pray for them, to know that they are with us and that we are empowering them through our prayers and just making sure that they know that they're just held deeply in our hearts together. Right now, we'd love to take a moment and just kind of soak in what some big picture things that Mountain Child is doing through people like we've seen here and so many others, as well as some of the small pieces that are happening in Nepal. If we go to the next slide, you'll see behind me a summary of the programs and projects that were initiated and developed in the year of 2013 and the amount of people that were impacted and served. Now, we don't have time to go through each one of these items. I would love to do that. But just to highlight a few, 2,313 people, as you can see, were taught hygiene, sanitation, and health practices that literally could save their life. Simple things like washing their hands, learning about germs, proper placement of latrines, and not only learning how to do these things, but learning why. These are over 2,000 people that are being exposed to this very simple but vital way that could prevent things like diarrhea, like contaminated water. And this is a great number of people that are being able to absorb this kind of education so that it can actually make an impact there in the remote areas of the Himalayas. In the next one here, in the video earlier, you may have noticed that there were donkeys being led up the mountain, yeah, with supplies on their backs. And look at this number, 4,100 people living in very isolated areas in the mountains received very crucial aid because of these donkeys. I don't know if you guys remember back a few years back, we had some Adopt a Donkey campaign. And I don't know how many donkeys were available because of that, but I know that it's because of the contribution, it's because of the efforts for bringing donkeys, because in the areas of Nepal, you can't have simple vehicles go into these places. We need animals like this to bring this kind of aid. So that's an amazing, amazing impact. And you've heard us talk about the Highland School of Frontier Missions. This was, again, initiated in 2013 and established then. And as Pastor Jack put it back in January, I love how he said, it's all about raising an army of resilient disciples who will obey Christ regardless of the consequences. And this is what the Highland School of Frontier Missions is all about, to train those who go into this school to take the message of Jesus Christ to where it's never ever been heard before, where it's completely devoid of the gospel. And so you see the number here that 71 people served. I don't know the breakdown of this number 71, but I imagine quite a lot of them are trained and now being sent, as we've heard, into the mountains to extend the boundaries of God's kingdom where it's never been before. 12,931 is an incredible number. Would you agree? I mean, it is quite a staggering number. And that's something for us just to digest and just praise God about, because this is his work. This is what he's doing. These are almost 13,000 people who've never would have had the chance to be exposed to not just these practical solutions, but to the eternal solutions that Mountain Child is offering. So that's some of the big picture differences going on through Mountain Child. I want to show you a short film clip from Scott and Sarah Smith of some examples of the nitty-gritty small stuff that is contributing to this big number, right? And because it's not just the big things that are happening, it's the everyday small things that are making a difference as well. So I'd like to play that for you now.
Hey, this is Scott here with Mountain Child, and right now I'm in the village of Chalk, which is just above Gop, where we sponsor a school. And up here, we actually have a preschool. And this is trying to encourage the local people to start their kids early with education. If you can see behind me over here, a couple of months ago, there was a huge windstorm that blew through here and ripped the roof off of many of the schools. And we're unable to use the same aluminum roof top on this because it's ripped a hole in where all the nails were. So we're going to have to completely get a new roof in this place. But it's just one of the things that Mountain Child is doing to try to encourage education here in the village.
Hi, this is Sarah from Mountain Child, and I've been in the Nupri Valley for the last 5 days with a group from Texas, and we've visited a lot of different villages and had a really great trip. We checked up on some of our water projects, and the team all drank water out of it and has tested its cleanliness, and we have a school that we help support in the village of Gop. We're able to paint the school and meet with the principal, and we've had a lot of really good success on this trip, including a lot of first aid, and we've been able to help several people who had serious wounds and injuries. One older woman was chopping wood and she cut into her hand and had a huge gash. Her hands were just black and filthy, and we were able to clean that and bandage it up, as well as a woman who we actually saw her fall off a horse. She had about a golf ball size bump on her head and then also a wound in her hair that needed stitches, and we were able to clean that up. And so those kind of things are really prone to infection here where they don't bathe, especially in the winter where it's so cold, so we were able to disinfect those. And there's also been, it's been a little discouraging seeing that kind of stuff, even in the last 24 hours, where those two things, there was a cow and its calf that died in a village where we were staying, and then also a mom who delivered a stillborn child. So just the reality of death here and just the living conditions has been really heartbreaking the last 24 hours, and it's a little discouraging sometimes just seeing just the way they live and the hygiene and health situation, but at the same time there's a lot of work that needs to be done, and I can't imagine doing anything else.
I mean, the reality of death is so real in Nepal. Physical death is very obvious, but of course spiritual death, to where Mountain Child is bringing God's life in these real and tangible ways. Now, for a while, Mountain Child has not been able to put on their website. If you look on their website, it's considered public domain, right? And because of that, there's no overtly spiritual content on the website. And the reason for this being is, as Pastor Jack mentioned to us earlier, is that there's concern and there's efforts to not jeopardize the gospel-centered long-term intentions that are put in place there in Nepal, where real persecution exists. And so there is a real security risk to the long-term personnel there, because there's very strange laws there in Nepal where it's okay to be a Christian, but not okay to become a Christian. It's a hard one to figure out, but that's not only, I think, limited in Nepal. I think it's in other places of the world as well. So Mountain Child really hasn't been able to have a public forum to talk about these religious activities until quite recently. Things are changing. We've been introduced to this, but I just want to make known to you again that Mountain Child, there's a new identity being formed, and this is so that we as a church and Mountain Child can let the world know what we're doing for the unreached people groups, and that is through the project of Footstool. You can visit the website. It's up and running. Last time we were introduced to it, it wasn't, but now you can go check out the website at thefootstoolproject.com. And so this is a forum where we can really openly now discuss the very Christian nature of the activities that are happening in Nepal, and share them with the world. The Footstool Project came from the heart of Hebrews, in the verses of Hebrews that Jack had in his heart about making Christ's enemies his footstool. It's making the rulers, authorities, and powers of this dark world the footstool of Jesus Christ. And Mountain Child is using the weapons of heaven, which are Christ's unconditional love, his righteousness, his power, and using those to lead people into a relationship with Jesus Christ, first by telling him who he is, and then leading him into salvation. And so this is how we're bringing the Himalayas as the footstool of Jesus Christ. And so you can certainly find out more, and you can certainly get involved through the website of Mountain Child and Footstool, and support our family who are in Nepal by praying for them, by our financial contributions. But there's also another opportunity I wanted to make you aware of, and that's the opportunity for you to actually witness firsthand, very directly, how God is mobilizing his people to scale the mountains of the Himalayas and claim them for Jesus Christ. And that is with our next mission trip that's coming up in 2015 from the Nations Church, which is set for next year. We have just a brief video to introduce this upcoming Mountain Child trip to Nepal. No, really, God's purpose and doing God's purpose, it doesn't originate with us. In fact, it can't start with us. As the team so eloquently put, stepping into God's work has nothing to do with what we're going to go do, right? Stepping into God's work has nothing to do with our capabilities, our skill sets, interests, or even our understanding. It really doesn't. It has everything to do with simply saying yes and allowing ourselves to be a member of the body of Jesus Christ, because the members of his body express the very will and intentions of God. Pastor John brought to a beautiful picture for us and a reality from 1 John 4:17, because as he is, so also are we in this world. See, there's no distinction between Jesus and his church. So as we are members of his body, our sole purpose is to express his will and his intention. And his will has been made known. It's no longer a mystery. His will is this, that none should perish, but all to have eternal life. Yeah? This is the origin of your purpose, my purpose, all of our purposes, the will of God for humanity. Yeah? It's for his glory, for his namesake to be known. So as we're kind of just processing what we've been seeing and what God is perhaps talking into our hearts about, a couple of just questions come to my mind, and is will you say yes, right? Will you say yes to being a member of his body? Not a member of church service or a church, but a member of his body. Because saying yes to being a member of his body means you're saying yes to being a minister. Yeah? And you're saying yes to being a missionary. As we talked about, missionary is not something that is for these special elite groups who are radical and they just go. And a special missionary is not a person who has to go abroad. A missionary is the carrier of God's singular mission here on earth, which is to save humanity, to have them know Jesus, who is eternal life. So will you say yes to what he's calling you into, what he's saying into your heart? I think it's really important for us to do that. You know, there's a difference between saying, I want to, I'd like to, and saying yes. Yes activates our will. It commits our life. I want to and I'd like to keeps us over here, right? And so when we are saying yes to becoming a member of his body, we are giving him lordship that is his. We're giving him to be absolutely master over our life and ownership to do as he intends, as he pleases. And I believe that's the best thing that we could ever do. Father, as we're holding these in our heart, Father, we are reminded from your word that everything that you promised us, all the promises of God, find their yes in Jesus Christ. And that is why through Jesus that we can say amen to you and for your glory. Father, thank you that it is you that is establishing us in Jesus Christ. Thank you that it is you who anoints us and that you put your seal on us through your Holy Spirit. And you put them into us in our hearts as a guarantee. Father, we don't have to rely on anything else. Because when we do, it falls because it's of this fallen world. But everything about you is eternal. And so we set our sights there. And as we think about and pray for Mountain Child and the people, our family there, we pray, Father, for your continual encouragement in their hearts, your empowerment in their lives. Father, for you to intimately speak into them as they are fully sold on bringing your will here upon earth that is already in heaven. We pray, Father, that, Lord, as they fulfill your intention to bring your message of Jesus Christ to the unreached, to people who have never heard of you, Father, we agree with them in prayer. We join and we pray, Father, for the strengthening of our unity together that no space and time could ever defy. Now, and as I'm praying this, I'm also recognizing that right even here, right in our midst, that, Father, you want people to know Jesus. And that there are people here that do not know your Son, Jesus Christ, and the salvation that is him and that you offer through him. So if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you now and you do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, and he's convicting you to accept him as Lord and Savior, then maybe you can pray this with me if you're prepared to accept him and to make him the whole of your life. We can pray to you, Jesus, that I acknowledge that you are indeed our creator and that you've created me for purpose. But I also acknowledge that I've gone my own way, a way of sin and a way of rebellion that has nothing to do with you and everything to do with me. I acknowledge this. And now I want to make a decision to turn my whole life over to you, every bit of it, and ask you to be my Lord and Savior. For I believe that you came to earth and you died for my sins. You buried my sins forevermore. And you raised to new life so that you can offer this new life to me. I believe this in my heart. And I accept your salvation. I don't deserve it, but I accept it freely and I thank you for it. I accept your eternal life and I accept your Holy Spirit to live in me. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As we always say here at the Nations Church, if you pray that prayer...
The videos will be available on mountainchild.org website and on the Nations Church Facebook page. Again, the videos are available at mountainchild.org and facebook.com/thenationschurch.